This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. I'm joined in the studio, as usual, by Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, Richard Bradbury.
There he is. And of course, as usual, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse. Hello.
Hello.
So, coming up on the show today, as per usual, we have our news segment in a couple of minutes. But we have no car review technically today, but what we do have is an overall review of the KL International Motor Show, or CLIMS.
Yes, because the show is power-packed and lots of launches, so we need to talk about all of them. It'll take up, I think, easily 3.5 hours.
There you go. That's all coming up in just a few minutes. But as per usual, before we get started, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse. Arif, so the chairman of the biggest car company, Nissan Renault Mitsubishi Alliance, has been arrested by Japanese authorities. What's going on here?
Yep, so his name is Carlos Ghosn. All my life I've always thought his name was pronounced Ghosn. But it's
so
Ghosn.
He is indeed gone then.
He's gone.
I wanted to make that joke, man.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
But yeah, so on Thursday... Nissan finally decided that they wanted to fire him. They had a board meeting and all of that. But Renault, who he's also the CEO of, says, hang on a minute, because apparently him leaving the company, Renault, could affect about 47,000 jobs in France itself. So it's quite a big thing. And I bring this up because I know we've been reporting it. The whole station has been reporting it the whole week, and he's quite a big figure. I read his book when I was young, and he's quite a champion of
He's basically the superstar of the automotive industry.
Yeah.
Right up to now.
Yep,
a superhero, you would say.
Yeah,
Superhero has gone bad.
He had a nickname. His name was a Lacoste Killer because.
He fired 21,000 people.
He fired 21,000 people and closed down 5 factories, which inevitably saved Nissan back in the year 2000 or 2001, something like that.
And then now he wants his compensation.
Yeah, exactly. So a little bit of history about the Renault-Nissan-Mitsubishi Alliance. Basically, those three companies work under the same umbrella, but they operate separately as three separate companies and share the same boss, Carlos Ghosn. The weird thing about this is that Renault sits at the top of the chain, even though it's about 40% smaller, 60% smaller than Nissan. So it's kind of a weird proposition to be happening. But anyway,
I'm assuming that's because Renault are longer established and therefore probably have more money in the bank at some point.
Probably.
I would assume that's probably.
As far as I've read, no.
No?
Apparently, it was just some weird cost-sharing thing that both companies were pretty bankrupt in the year 2000.
Right.
And they managed to mold something up and create something. And then both companies suddenly became pretty successful.
A mishmash, and now we have the Nissan Renault Mitsubishi Alliance.
Yes.
But anyway, he's been fired, and there's a lot of worry around the world about what will happen to this alliance. But apparently, next year's or 2020's Mitsubishi Lancer or something that will be based on a Renault platform. So, you know, things might still be okay for the alliance.
Right.
I personally think this is a little bit, you know, over the top. The worry, I think, is over the top.
Yeah?
It's one man. Yes, he's right on top. He's gone. Gone. But I think business as usual. Because why? They're quite set in their ways. Yeah. They're doing very well around the world. Okay, Malaysia might not be the biggest market. Yep. But around the world, all these brands are doing very well. So I don't think it's a big issue. Renault is moving far forward in you know, electric vehicles. Nissan, the same thing with the Leaf and everything else. Mm. Mitsubishi is slowly coming out of its issues. I think there's no issue here. Yep. You know, one man...
The problem is, you know, mud sticks though, right? You know, so people are going to assume that he's had his finger in all of these pies and maybe he's messed things up.
And also the news reporting, I think they're going a little bit out of tangent here, because also why? If they manage to do this, they force the market down, the right. share prices drop.
Yep.
These news guys are going to buy the shares at a low price. Then when it goes back up, they're going to be laughing.
Smart people, you might say.
Yes, yeah. yes.
Okay, are we done with him? Is Mr. Gone gone?
Yeah. Yes, yes, gone.
Gone,
so
going, gone.
Nothing
gone.
More to talk about then.
Yes, no. gone, gone.
All right, okay, moving on. Retrofitted HID users, HID users.
Yep.
They're going to be fined, aren't they?
Yep. Well, this law has been put in place, but it's never been enforced. So apparently, Transport Minister Anthony Loke, you know, set out a quick reminder to say that cars retrofitted with HID lights could be fined 2,000 ringgit or even jailed for about 6 months. And why? Because obviously it blinds other drivers.
I totally agree with this.
Yeah. But if your car did come from factory with HID lights, you're safe. Don't worry about that. And yeah, that's about
okay, that... Okay, so if they're retrofitted, is it because they haven't been fitted and angled correctly? Whereas if they come with your car, they have.
Your point is great, because why? Angling is one thing, because a lot of them, they go to this, you know, small aftermarket shops, and they just fit it and they just go ahead with it. The other issue, which a lot of people are forgetting, is a lot of these smaller shops, when they fit this, they don't check the voltage, that the current that is running to the vehicle.
They could be too bright.
Too bright is one thing, but they could also start electrical fires.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And then people go back to the manufacturer and say, hey, your car caught fire. I want to sue you for a replacement. But it all started with the aftermarket shop. And this is a problem, because a lot of these products are also coming from, you know, shoddy manufacturers, which are not exactly credible.
Right.
So I think what he's doing, fantastic. Next issue should be tinted glass.
That's true. I hope he, you know, hunts down people with too dark tinted glass, because...
Exactly. And also fake tinted glass.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yes.
That's what we're done with?
Yes.
We've gone from bright lights to tinted glass?
Yes.
My word. Okay, moving on.
Because with the bright lights, you need tinted glass.
Exactly. Point number three this week, the Malaysian Transportation Safety Board. What's going on here?
This one was quite a big thing. I think the Evening Edition did a little piece on it, and then they got a bunch of pretty hilarious replies. But anyway, the government wants to set up the Malaysian Transportation Safety Board to tackle road, you know,
safety,
road accidents, the safety and all that stuff. But you know, but especially involving buses, the express buses, that, you know, we always hear about these accidents and they kill a lot of people and they're clearly not regulated properly.
Yeah.
So I think it's really all about the express buses, but I could be wrong. But, you know, I'm not really sure what else will be done by the Malaysian Transportation Safety Board. I hope they tackle our roads,
right.
our traffic lights and our street lights
so
and all.
So many things.
There's too many.
Wait, so currently who looks after the bus? Is it Puspacom?
Puspacom and JPJ. Puspacom is supposed to certify them whether they're road legal.
Supposed to, right?
Yes, and I think they do an okay job. But the problem is a lot of, you know, hanky-panky goes on.
Okay.
And they get away with it. A lot of these transporters get away with it. And when they get away with it, you can't actually go back to Puspacom as the body and complain to them. You have to go drill down to the people who inspect the vehicles and give them that clean bill of health.
Right.
So if the Malaysian Transportation Safety Board was actually enforcing things, what would you get them to do
first?
What
would you want enforced?
Okay, number one, we should not allow grey market second-hand commercial vehicles to come into the country.
Totally agreed.
Because why? A lot of these are 7, 8, 9-year-old vehicles from Europe. They've been heavily used. Mm. All they do is they're cleaned up. You see, a passenger car is different. That's, you know, a passenger, 1, 2 persons, fine. That's it. You're going to have a little accident, that's up to you. But when you talk about a commercial vehicle, you're entrusting a lot of lives in your hand. And they bring in these vehicles very cheap. But these vehicles have already tired. You know, commercial vehicles in Europe, you know the roads in Europe, yeah?
Yeah.
A lot of mileage taken in. They just service them and put them back on the road.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, retreaded tires. The biggest cause of accidents.
Yeah.
You sometimes even see the retread tires sitting on the highway. Now, there are professional retreading, but there's also a lot of, you know, I make the retread myself with a knife, you know, that kind of thing. So these are the ones you have to stop. And, you know, if you see them using this, just shut them down.
Mm.
And then the third and the most famous one is drivers on drugs or... You know, drunk.
What, seatbelts, though, you know, compulsory seatbelts in buses and vehicles and express coaches and all of that kind of stuff is something I'd like to see. Compulsory.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have already put the ruling in for the buses. That. But you see, I have a little bit of issue with this because, you know, when you're sitting in a passenger car and use a seatbelt, it's been designed to give you some kind of comfort. But a lot of the seats in express buses are very shoddily manufactured.
Yep. They're usually just benches with a couple of straps. That's
so if you put the seatbelt on, okay, it may hold you in, but it's really uncomfortable. I've tried it.
Right.
And over a long distance, you are actually very uncomfortable, especially when you're overweight like me.
You're not overweight.
Yes, yes, yes. No, in radio, you can't see.
So, I mean, when I was back in the UK just a few weeks ago, one of the big things there, obviously, is seatbelts on coaches are compulsory. Regardless of how short your journey is, you've got to stick it on.
Right.
And somebody, because I was coming from the airport, somebody got on at the airport and didn't put their seatbelt on. And the coach driver actually pulled over to the side of the road and made an announcement on the coach that, I'm not moving any further until that person has put on their seatbelt.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of enforcement that you need.
Yeah. Yes,
you need
because why? The driver gets fined.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the passenger.
That's what we need, right?
Yes.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more to be done for the roads, though. Because our road conditions are, I think...
atrocious.
They're a disgrace. Mm. That we have potholes in the middle of nowhere. And, I mean, I just heard of an accident the other day where a motorcyclist hit a pothole. And he swerved off, and a car hit him.
You know, the potholes are there for a reason. So that the tire companies can sell more tires. The alloy rim companies can sell more alloy rims. And, you know, if your car has a little bit of an accident...
Mm, the insurance company can claim.
Insurance, the repair job. It's a whole ecosystem.
It's an ecosystem.
Yes.
Okay, ladies and gents, that's the end of the news for today. Very swift news we've managed to get through. Stick around, though, because coming up after these messages, we've got some more news from the KL International Motor Show, CLIMS 2008. Of course. Don't go anywhere. You are, of course, listening to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9. The Business Station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with...
Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my.
That's him. And...
RF Roos from BFM.
He remembered.
He remembered. Anyway, if you just joined us on the show, of course, just a couple of minutes ago, we were talking about the news segment. We've had Carlos Ghosn has gone. Retrofitted HID users, they're going to be fined. And the potential birth of the Malaysian Transportation Safety Board.
Yes.
That's what we discussed earlier on. We don't have a car review this week because Daniel's been a bit too busy attending CLIMS.
KL International Motor Show.
Tell us all about it then.
Finally, it arrived.
What's been going on?
Okay, we'll start with the show itself, okay? First of all, thank you very much for the new venue.
Yeah.
After so many years of having it in Putra World Trade Center, I'm sorry, that place is just too old, too spread out.
So where is it now?
Now it's at MyTech.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, which is Bian Publica.
Yeah.
Nice location. Only problem is there's not enough parking.
Oh, that's a Malaysian problem in general, though, right?
Not enough parking. And the reason why I say not enough parking is because there is no MRT, LRT station nearby.
I see.
Of course, there's feeder buses and all that. But generally, Malaysians want things easy. Mm. So this is my only negative point about the location.
Okay.
But the halls are great.
Yep.
You know, the facilities and everything is there. It looks more professional. It looks more upmarket. The show is done over two main halls. And both halls are jam-packed. All the space is taken up. You've got quite a number of car brands there. But sadly, the Germans are missing. Two Japanese brands are missing. Some of your countrymen are missing, the British. Mm. And
thanks
we have
for the reminder.
Yes. So the Koreans are there. The French are there. And most of the Japanese brands are there.
Very quickly, Arif, you went as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
First impressions?
I guess it was all right, but I don't know, compared to the previous one, the last one that happened, which was in PWTC in 08 or something like that,
yes.
I think I was about 12 years old or something, okay. But it was I think it's a big improvement, like you said, yeah.
Big improvement in terms of location and layout and everything. It's easy to find.
I do have a problem with the parking, though. It's expensive.
Well, you know, parking in KL is no longer cheap. So yeah. 15 ringgit per entry, I think it's okay. It's okay.
For an event, I think that's okay.
Yeah? Yes. Yeah. Because, you know, you go to something like this, you're not going to spend 1-2 hours. Mm. You need a few hours there. Yeah. You need to really look around.
And how much is parking? Did you say 15?
15 ringgit.
And this is happening now until December 2nd.
So yes.
People, okay.
So tickets are about 20 ringgit for adults and 5 ringgit for children. And I think they do have a special price for senior citizens as well. So that's pretty good.
And with a ticket, there's a chance to win a car.
Oh, yeah.
You can win a Toyota CHR, first prize.
Ooh.
Second prize is a Honda City. Third prize is a Perdua Myvi. So think of it as a lottery ticket. You know, if you don't really like the show, it's okay. You could win a car. Okay, so we went to the show.
Yeah.
So the first biggest news of the show, I would start, is with Hyundai.
Mm. Yes, yes.
And you know why?
Tell me why.
I'm very impressed with Hyundai because not only did they have a lot of vehicles on show, they also had vehicles that are going to be launched on the road in coming weeks. Mm. So to start with, the Hyundai Starex. This is long coming. Okay, brand new Starex, 148,000, looks good, looks very handsome, nicer interior. That's a great thing for the tourist industry or families that need a big MPV. Number two, which I personally love, the new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Me too. Oh my God.
Seven-seater.
I sat in that car just now and I was just... I mean, the only reason why I enjoy the Santa Fe is because my parents have one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
the previous one?
Yeah, the 2013 model.
Okay, so you sat in to get a reminder what your childhood was like? Or what?
No, I mean,
leaps and bounds ahead.
I mean, because like the way I look at the Santa Fe is that, oh, you know, it's a pretty good workhorse. It's going to be reliable and reasonably powerful too.
Yes.
And then you look at the current Santa Fe that they put on display and whoa, that thing is a proper step up.
Yes. And it's for sale at 188,000 ringgit.
Okay.
Which I think is very reasonable because it's premium.
Yeah,
it's definitely premium.
It's even got a power tailgate.
Yes. And that interior is so attractive. I had to say, listen, you know, this is something which I can actually consider as a family vehicle.
All right, I'm signing interest. I'm just quickly Googling it so I can have a quick look. Carry on,
good,
Thomas.
Carry on. And then you had the i30N.
Oh, yes.
Now, that's hot hatch, Evan. Now, that car, I saw it the first time at the Frankfurt Motor Show 2 years ago. And I thought, whoa, they must bring this into production. But at that time, they said, well, we'll think about it and everything else. Now, it's confirmed. Price, maybe $200,000 if they get it right with the taxation.
It looks nice. I'll say that. It's i30N. Mm-hmm.
The best part about this car for me is that it was, I think it was designed, or I think the product designer for the i30N or the N group or the N badge was BMW M's former boss.
Exactly.
So I was
exactly.
I got to test drive one of these to see, you know, if that German precision is still there.
Yes.
And from what I'm looking at, it's gorgeous.
Yes. And then Hyundai also had the Nexo, which is the fuel cell car.
Yeah. Mm.
They had the Kona, which is definitely coming to Malaysia, the small SUV.
It's coming in the EV and
exactly,
ICE engine.
Both variants.
I'm hearing quite a bit about this Kona, actually.
Yes, so Kona has been doing well in Europe,
especially
in your part of the world, Richard. Mm. So I think this is the time for us to buy some shares in Hyundai.
Oh, there we go. That's a bit of a tip.
Honestly think that the Hyundai Kona is actually one of the best EV cars around. I know I said that about the Chevy Bolt last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you did.
But the Kona...
Why?
Because I think it's a brilliant little package. It's not too small. It's not too big. The interior is very refreshing. Pardon my words.
Mm-hmm.
And it's full of leather. It's really good quality. And
it's premium.
It's premium. Yes. I think from the electric motor, it produces about 200 horsepower. Nobody's going to complain about that. And it's probably got about 350 kilometers worth of electric range, which is really impressive.
Mm.
But I just want to pull it back to the Hyundai Nexo, the fuel cell car. A report came out recently about a test they did in London where the car itself, you know, it's a fuel cell hydrogen, so it emits only water, but they equipped the car with a bunch of air filters in front of it, and then apparently
it cleaned the air,
and I think it was 970 kilos of dirt just filtered from London Air.
So he's doing a service.
Yeah. Oh. It's a really impressive car, I think.
Well, it'd be expensive service to be driving down around London, though. Yeah. Okay, moving on. What else do we have?
I think we have the new Hyundai Accent on display as well.
Yes, the new Hyundai Accent. Nothing to really shout about, but you know, it's a nice little nippy car. And I think Hyundai have really pushed the envelope for this time for claims, because I found them the most impressive in terms of not layout or anything else, but in terms of vehicles on display to excite, you know, consumers. That means I know this is coming, or it's already here, or this is what the Hyundai of the future looks like. You know?
Right. So of all the people that were displaying, you'd say that Hyundai were the one that stood out the most.
Totally.
Wow.
In terms of variety.
Variety, yeah.
And, you know, they took care of electric car, fuel cell, performance, family, MPV.
Ticked every box. Yeah,
they had about, what, 10 cars there?
Easily.
And the space they filled was quite quite big, and it was really impressive, to be honest.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
which other? Honda? What about Honda?
Honda. Now, Honda had everything on their lineup there. But the only excitement was the RS.
Right.
The RS, of course, is the new HR-V. Mm-hmm. But still no price, still no launch date, because they're waiting for NEP.
Just lucky what we might be bringing.
Yes. And on the stage, they had the Honda Clarity, which is their fuel cell car.
Yeah.
Now, this has already done its rounds around the globe. That's the future of Honda. But sadly, that car will not come to Malaysia. And that's what I felt a little bit sad. Because you know why? Honda technology is definitely going forward in terms of fuel cell. But why they're not bringing it to Malaysia, and why they're not launching it in this part of the world, we have to find out later.
Do you think it would probably be an infrastructure thing?
Infrastructure is one thing, but I think also it's going to be very expensive.
Right. Fair enough.
It's not going to be worth their while to do it.
Okay, next.
On display, they also had the Honda City Hybrid. I'm not sure if that was launched already, but...
Launched already.
Yes. And they had also a very spruced up CR-V with a Mugen body kit, which is pretty cool.
That, I think, is just a variant that's coming. Just to excite the market, because why? The competition is getting exciting. So they need to keep the game up, you know?
Yeah. Moving forward, I think there was a big, huge Toyota stand there as well.
The most impressive in terms of look and feel.
Mm. Toyota?
Toyota spent the most amount, I mean, Toyota and Lexus together, spent the most amount of money at this show to just wow everybody.
While we're on that note, can we just have a rough guess at how much it costs to exhibit at this place? Do we know? Okay, that's
a lot of money.
The giggle itself is
a
enough.
Lot of money, a my lot friend. Of money. A lot of money, a lot of money, a lot of
Could
money.
Could that account for perhaps why we haven't seen some of the exhibitors that maybe we thought we might?
Well, you see, for someone
I'm asking if you're speculation. Okay. You don't need to be
Okay, for someone to take part in a show like this, first of all, it's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you don't have anything new to show, which you're going to bring to market, or you don't have the support of your principal in terms of bringing the vehicle, you'll say, okay, I'm going to spend a couple of million dollars, or maybe just under 2 million or a million ringgit. What am I going to get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a branding exercise, I need HQ to pay for it. If it's a sales project, then no. But you see, like, an international motor show is normally branding. So if you don't have anything to excite the market and say, oh, my brand is, you know, really garang, or, you know, it's going forward, or it's taking on the competition easily, then there's really no point in spending that kind of money. But you see, like Toyota, they had the Camry on display.
Yep.
So it's finally launched, $180,000. Only one variant, 2.5, which is a bit disappointing, because a lot of people are downsizing. So a 2-liter or a hybrid would have been better.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they've started at the top, and then they slowly launched the other variants later. But what made the biggest difference was they brought in the Toyota FT1 concept supercar.
Oh my God. You'll see pictures of that on our Instagram.
Yeah, I mean this car...
Oh, it's like just a Supra.
Exactly. This car is just ridiculously awesome, you know? And I looked at it and I kept looking at it. And even though the model standing next to it was a hot babe, the car still stood out. The car still stood out. Every line, every curve, every, you know, momentum in that car just said, buy me, drive me, abuse me. Take me down the tarmac and just scotch me, you know? The Toyota FT1 sports car concept. gets my thumbs up.
All right. Enough excitement. Moving on then. What else do we have?
We also saw the new release of the Toyota Vios.
Yes.
Malaysia's second favorite car.
Yes. Doesn't look all that much different.
No. Except for maybe some new lights and all that stuff.
But it's new. It's new.
Right.
Probably going to go about the same price at 77 grand.
Definitely.
Moving on, we've got the Peugeot... We've got the Peugeot stand where they put
308 GTI.
Oh my God, that car. I sat in that car and I've never felt more happy in my life.
Yes.
Except for the fact that when you sit down and adjust your driving position and everything, the top of the steering wheel blocks the speedometer.
Does it? I didn't notice that.
Oh my God. That.
I'll take note the next time I sit in the
yes.
car. Yes. But estimated price, 200,000 ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is hot hatch heaven. Why? Because if you're really a hot hatch driver, and I know a lot of people say they're hot hatch drivers, but they want automatic. This is manual six-speed.
I mean, I'm just looking at this, and I get vibes of a Vauxhall Astra, though.
From your era. Yes.
From back in my day.
The Vauxhall Astra GTE.
That's what it reminds me of.
Yes.
Is that a bad thing? That's a bad thing. Is that a
it's
bad
not
thing?
A bad thing. It's not a bad thing. From your part of the world, no. You From know, our I'm part of the world, Vauxhall Astra. What's that? Okay.
This car does put into question, though, whether you'd have the i30N or the 308 GTI.
Both are head-to-head.
Yeah.
And both are, what do you say, slightly outside the segment leaders, you know?
Yeah.
So you got the Mercedes A-Class, which is now rushing up the ladder. The Golf GTI, which is, just living it there.
Mm.
BMW 1 Series out of the picture completely. So these guys could actually come up the game. And, you know, because they're both manuals, I think people should start taking these cars seriously.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a lot to get through, but I can probably give you about another three or four minutes.
Okay.
So cherry pick for me what you think you want to talk about.
Okay. Arif.
That was sneaky. So we should probably talk about a local car.
What got a lot of Malaysian Twitter excited was a Perodua.
Oh, dun, dun,
a
yes.
Myvi, a concept Myvi GT.
That is hot. It's a hot hatch.
It looks like a hot hatch.
Yes.
And it looks legit. It
Spot
really does.
Seats and everything.
And the stance is nice and low. It's got big wheels and proper Brembo brakes. Two real twin tailpipes at the back and whited out lights.
This is the one I'm looking at right now, is it?
I mean,
I see.
I used to hate Myvis, but I kind of like this one. Yeah.
And of course, the other local player?
Yep, Proton also put like 12 X70s on.
Actually, five.
Five.
But no, it's all the different variants. And they've confirmed 12th of December, launch, KL Convention Center, prices will be revealed, cars will be delivered.
On the stand, just all of the families were just bundled around the X70. None of the other Protons were getting any attention
at
all.
Because there's nothing else.
Yeah.
the rest are old cars. Finally, we must talk about the new Mitsubishi Triton.
I was quite skeptical about the Triton, but then when I saw that in person, that looks really
good. It's a muscular truck.
It is.
It looks angry.
Yes, exactly. You see, until now, the Ranger was the angriest truck out there. You know, big, bold, intimidating, and everybody rushed out to say, I want a Ranger, whether I can afford it or not.
Mm.
Now comes this Triton. And it's funny because the previous Triton was a bit soft.
Yeah.
A bit feminine. You know, I know it's wrong to say this, but I actually found it a bit feminine because the curves.
It had very soft lines.
Yes.
Yeah.
It worked well. But it wasn't aggressive enough. They dressed it up to make it aggressive.
Mm.
But this one, by itself, says, hey, come, let's play. Come. And prices start from 100,000 to 140,000. Again, same as before. They've not played around with the price. They've done a good job with the looks. I'm just hoping that the Malaysian office puts in the right accessories to make it a real competitor to the Ranger.
Do you think they should go like our review of the Wildtrak last week, you know, a city truck instead, a two-wheel drive.
Automatic.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm glad you brought it up. That's the worst selling model in the Ranger lineup right now. People don't appreciate it. I'm sad.
After all of that last
after
week.
And you know, it's like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people listened to our show and no one took notice of it.
You see, this is the thing. Some of your predictions have been a bit hit and miss, yes. Right? We've had some good ones and not so good ones. Anyway, ladies and gents, that's all the time we have for this week. But, of course, we started off the show. Our news segment was all about Carlos Ghosn has been arrested. The CEO and COO, he was the CEO of Nissan back in 1999. Then they formed the Renault-Nissan Alliance back in 2001. Mitsubishi was added a little bit later on. Then, of course, we've been speaking about the retrofitted HID users who will be fined if you don't sort it out. Then, of course, it was the Malaysian Transportation Safety Board. And over the last few minutes, what have we covered? We covered Hyundai. I had a bunch.
Honda.
Toyota. Peugeot.
Perdua.
Proton. Mitsubishi. And I think that's about it.
And a little bit of Ford.
Final words on Klims?
I think it's a good weekend to go and have a look at Klims.
Yeah.
If you're looking to buy a car below 250,000, this show should not be missed. But if you're looking for premium cars, I'm sorry.
All right.
I totally agree. I think if you're looking for a car in 2019 and sometime next year, this is the car show to go for, because on display is basically all the cars you see on the road, but more modern and the newer launches. So please go for it. I think it's fruitful.
Yes. And okay. The girls.
And the girls. Okay, so you've just heard from Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. And of course, that was the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruz. I've been Rich Bradbury. This has been Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9, the business station. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.